The following program has been paid for by Vital Ministries of Oskaloosa, Iowa.
Good Sunday morning. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries, and it's good to be with you on this Labor Day Sunday weekend, big three-day weekend. We're just excited that you're part of us. Maybe you just turned to KBOE 104.9 FM on your radio, and you're traveling down the highway, maybe going to an event, seeing family, or doing whatever you're doing, and you just turned us on. We want to thank you for listening today. I hope there's some inspiration out of what God's Word has for us today, or maybe you're simply on your way to church, and this is part of your rhythm as you go. Just thank you again for listening as well. And many of you have come up to me and just say, Mike, you have been our Sunday morning teaching, and you're at home right day today. And I just want to thank you for that. And you can open up your Bibles to James chapter 5 if you are at home. That's kind of where we're headed today. But I just want to thank you for listening and participating in this radio podcast as Vital Ministries. Just thank you so much for your time. And also, too, we have some events coming up. And we have, matter of fact, next weekend, which is September 8th, we have our big event that's coming up, our Vital Gathering. Now, this is both an all-family, both men, women, and children event that is just a great opportunity to experience a different kind of presence. It's not church. It's just something that's new where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to us and have relationship and community with each other. Too often in church, we get so busy, we get so organized that we forget those things. And I know every church doesn't. That's what they try to hone on to. But when you've only got an hour of space of time, it's difficult to have those kind of relationships. So you're going to want to go to, on September 8th, Debbie's Celebration Barn. That's on the south side of Oskaloosa here. We're going to go from 5 to 7 p.m. at night. Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have food right off the bat. It's just going to be, and the food was excellent last time. We're bringing the same vendor to come in and bring it. So we're going to feed you. So it's going to have a great time meeting. Bring the family again. It'll be an opportunity to meet other people. And also, too, we're going to have a worship set, meaning we're going to have our Vital Ministries worship team with us who played with us 2 months ago. This is an event that we do every other month, and this just happens to be on September 8th. Great experience to allow the Holy Spirit to speak through to us through worship. I will do about a 20-25 minute teaching at best. We'll talk about something that's relevant. We're going to talk about who is your hero, and we're going to look at that in a deeper way. We always deal with what I would say cultural events, things that are going on around us. It kind of tags off the movie with Marvel, The Endgame. And that was also a very good movie. Just encourage you, if you haven't seen that movie, you're into comics and you enjoy that, just a good movie. Also, too, at the end, we'll have a coffee time. We'll finish up with some worship and praise. So it's from 5 to 7, September 8th. You're not going to want to miss this event. It's just going to be a really, really great time. Also, too, we have on September 11, 9/11, our Vital Men kickoff. Now, this is an all-men's event. It's going to be an incredible night. We're going to be in Pella, Iowa at the Well. Again, that's on 9/11, September 11th on a Wednesday evening. We're going to go from 6 to 8 o'clock. We're going to have barbecue. We're going to feed you men well, so you're not going to want to miss this event. So, wives, if you're at listening and your husband, give him a notch, give him an elbow and say, hey, you got to be at that event. Well, we're going to have, again, food, and we're also going to have the Bridge Worship Band is going to be with us as well. They do a phenomenal job. They're out of Ottumwa. And then also, too, our guest speaker is going to be Marty Schmidt. And if you have not heard Marty is full of energy. He brings tears to your eyes from laughing. And yet, at the same time, he packs a punch, allows the Holy Spirit to speak to us as men. As we jump into our new teaching series, what it means to have followership, we're going to look at the lives of both Elijah and Elisha, and it's going to be an incredible teaching. That's going to be our fall going into early winter teaching up to January. You're not going to want to miss that kickoff, and again, this is an all-men's event on 9/11, so it's going to be a great time for the family or for men to come and join us. Also, too, we just want to push out. We send out devotionals 5 days a week. On the men's side, Vital Men, we have five different writers. I write on Monday, but we have other men that write as well. It's a great opportunity at vitalministries.org, an opportunity of inspiration. My wife writes for the women on the women's side. Don't miss that as well. You can jump on at vitalministries.org and get that encouraging word of inspiration on your day-to-day. You don't want to miss that at all. And also, too, as always, we always appreciate your donations. It takes donations, folks, for us to make it work. And it's always, you know, everybody you hear, it is tight. It's always tight in ministry, and that's just how it is. But I encourage you, if you'd like to make a donation to Vital Ministries, you appreciate what we're doing. Maybe even this radio broadcast, we would really appreciate your support. You can go to our website at vitalministries.org. That gives you a link. You can actually donate right there, or it gives you our address to how you can send it to us as well. We always appreciate those checks as they come in, and just a great opportunity. But it's but let's jump in today. It's Labor Day weekend, the last weekend, the last hurrah of summer. It seems like Memorial Day weekend was just here, doesn't it, folks? It just seems like the other day. But we're here. The summer has gone and the summer has went. We are looking at fall right in the eyes. Maybe you're like me, and as you get older, the summers seem to get faster and they seem to literally go in a blink. But this weekend, our nation commemorates people in the workforce. Isn't that cool? People, it goes right along with our teaching series about work. But this weekend, we observe work itself. People who go out, get it done, do their day-to-day jobs, and live out life. And I'm just thankful for that. But maybe, you know, on this weekend, as we go and commemorate that, maybe you're, as many of our men, well, you've got some of the guys that they go down to the river. They have a camper, and they go boating, and they go up and down the river, just have a good time. Make sure you're safe if you're out there on the water, or maybe you're headed to the lake. Just make sure you're safe. Watch out for your family. And like many of us, for us, it's kind of a stay weekend. We get an opportunity. We got family that has come in over the weekend, and we're looking forward to spending time with them. Probably do a little traveling, walking with our Bernese Mountain Dog. We love that. But it's just a great time as we commemorate this weekend. You know, this past weekend, it's been busy, and I look forward to this weekend. I've served in two funerals. I spoke last weekend at the gate in Albia. Matter of fact, on Friday night up in Pella, Iowa, I will be with the Newton Cardinal football team. They've asked me to come back and join them. I was with them a few years ago as their chaplain of their team, and they've asked me to come along with their opening kickoff of football. So I'll be standing on the sidelines with those men and just encouraging them, giving them a word of inspiration before they take the field. I love doing those sort of things. Also, too, this past week has just been, as we get ready to study, and matter of fact, on Sunday morning, I will be headed up after doing the podcast. I will be up in the Newton Correctional Facility and speaking to those men. So it's been a busy week for me, and it all fits in the teaching series in the book of James called Work. Last week, we talked about how work and pursuing God. One of my favorite verses comes out of James 4, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. It's work at pursuing God in which we receive incredible dividends, don't we, folks? But it's our place to pursue him. And then by doing so, he pursues us as well. And to be honest, folks, this Labor Day weekend, again, I always like to be crystal clear with you. I'm worn out. It's been an incredible long week. It's been taxing, and I'm challenged this morning, even in doing the teaching, to be absolutely honest. Maybe you're like me, and your soul is crying out, I need a break. I've always tried to be honest and, again, transparent in everything I do, and too often you'll hear people talking on the radio or on TV or whatever, how they always have it all together. They're always on top of their game. But, well, folks, it's not me, and life is sometimes work. And I think we have moments like these where we literally have to go and ask Holy Spirit to help us and help us work through that. That's one of the prayers before I even started this podcast this morning. I asked Holy Spirit, give me energy, help me to speak what you would have me to speak out of the book of James so it's good and it's clear and that you give me good energy. So with that, let's jump into our teaching today. As our teaching series about work, we're going to look at it means of work and treasure. Where your treasure is where your heart is oftentimes. If you want to know what holds your heart, look at where you spend your money. James deals with money in chapter 5 head on. He doesn't hold back, and I think it's important for us this morning that we do the same. So my first point for us today, if you're home and you're writing these things down, point number one is, who are the rich? And let's look at James chapter 5, verses 1 through 3 this morning. Look here, you rich people, weep and groan with anguish because of the terrible troubles ahead of you. Your wealth is rotting away, and your fine clothes are moth-eaten rags. Your gold and your silver are corroded. Your very wealth that you are counting on will eat away your flesh like fire. This corrodes the treasure that you have hoarded, will testify against you in the day of judgment. See, folks, this portion of the Bible is for the rich folks that they thought, as James was writing, that they literally felt they had it made. But God thought differently. Their wealth would vanish away, and their gold and their silver would become worthless. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, 17, that the riches are uncertain. They fall away. They dissipate. They leave. Anybody who has had money in the stock market especially knows this, that one day it's up and then the next day it's down. You have money, great money one day, and the next day you possibly lose money. I have a friend who watches the stock market every day. Whenever I see him, he tells me what percentage of investments, how he's doing every day during the year. Now, I got to be honest, it's interesting, but I'm too busy in my own work to be enjoyed or to be in something that I look into as far as what the stock market does. Yes, it does affect us without a shadow of a doubt, but that's not something I spend my time in. I appreciate those that do. That's great. I'm glad that you can do that. But as I shared with you earlier, I have done 2 funerals in less than a week, and I can tell you the truth. Wells Fargo did not show up at the grave where they were put. They left it all behind. We come to this world with nothing, and we leave it with the same, with the exception of one thing, our legacy. To me, legacy exceeds monetary wealth. Did I serve Jesus, and did I have a relationship with him? Did I love my wife well? Did my kids and my grandkids testify to the time I spent with them? That, folks, is what I would consider wealth, not how the world sees it, but I believe the family, and also too what Jesus sees in our lives is the time we spend with him and how we are around our family. I have a relative who buys gold and silver, and they say it's a good investment, always sharing with me that I should invest in gold. And I always respond this way, okay, for what? If your health isn't good and people think you're hard to them in life, that gold and silver at the end of the day won't buy you character, and it won't buy you health. Isn't that so true? It says this in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. Now, these are Jesus' words of what he says about wealth. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your soul? These words that Jesus says always puts my mind into what I call perspective. Toby Mac, he sings a song about that, Lose Your Soul. It's a great video that always brings me back to the perspective of what riches can be and what they do as they pull against our lives. My dad has been the one who has always taught me about what it means to have a spirit of generosity. My dad has always been the first to pay a bill as we go in, as we go to our restaurant, and he's always been there to help us as our kids. He even helps our grandkids, and he's a guy that would give his coat off his back. I like hanging out with people who are generous. I get my haircut at a local barber called Grace Point Barbershop, and you can get a haircut for $15. And the barber there, she does a great job, and it's a new business, and she just does a really really good. And many times as we go, we talk about life, and I like that when I sit in her chair. It becomes personal. And I always hope and I ask her how her business is doing, because I want her to do well, and it's always tries to encourage her with that. But folks, generosity, when you have those moments, generosity truly soothes the soul. And always when I go there, I always give her a generous tip, because I want her, first of all, to make it, and also too, to know that generosity is good, and I want to be known as a man who's generous. Think about the waitress so often who serves you. She's counting on that tip of generosity because she has 9 times out of 10, most women who are waitresses, they have kids at home, and many of them are single moms. So they're counting on that generosity of that tip that you give them to make ends meet at the end of the day. And many, many times in those moments like that, I've had what I call in the generosity moments, I've had these God moments that God allows. Are you, and I want you to think about this, are you holding on to your gold and your silver, or are you living life to be generous? It all takes an account and all takes measure. But let's move to point number 2 this morning is this, cheating the people you work with. And let's look at verse 4. And this is what it says. For listen, hear the cries of the field workers whom you have cheated of their pay. The cries of those who will harvest your fields have reached the ears of the Lord of the heaven's armies. See, this is what I would call in your face word to people who are employers. I'm an employer. And how are you treating the people who work for you? What do they say about you? Are you a generous employer? Or you are somebody that holds back. This past month, we took our men. I was gone out of town. I was actually in Florida seeing my son. But we had this golf outing, and my brother who and I were together in partnership and with our men, and we took them out. He took them out golfing. They played 18 holes of golf on a Friday. We paid for their hours at work, and we paid for their golf, and we made it fun. My brother at different holes would give them money for either a best shot, a best putt, or a longest drive. Now, I'm not saying that to give you kudos of how good I want you to think that I am. And I ask for an umbrella of mercy on that. But what I am showing you is this, is generosity makes a significant difference. See, people, when they work at the end of the day, they expect a check at either the end of the week, 2 weeks, or at the end of the month, because that is something they've earned, they've worked for. But I found in my life, it isn't the paycheck that holds a person. What holds a person is that the investment that you make in their lives of generosity. See, I think more and more that we should look at our employees as people who work alongside us and they become family. I think of one of the bigger employers that we have right here in Oskaloosa. Both of these men are an incredible man, and I think a lot of them about how they care for the welfare of their people who work for them. And also, too, they're an employer who looks out and gives back to the community. They've created jobs, better housing, by having lots that I would say are below market value. They invest in our schools, and they keep our community vibrant. Both men have had incredible wealth, but both men, in my opinion, are generous men. I know they both can contest to both of them because I know them about their character and their generosity. It's so important now that you hear me on this. The Lord hears the cries if you're not being fair to your people. Whether it's you have one employee or whether you have 100, do you take care of the people who work for you? We see men as, and this is what that's important. Behind every man and woman who works for you, there's a family. And many, many times within family, do they call you a person who is generous? That, folks, I would say is respect. They're respected, and in my mind, you have a choice as being an employer. Are you respected or are you feared? There's a difference. Which brings me to point number 3 this morning in James 5:5-6, and let's continue today. It says this, have you spent your years on earth in luxury, satisfying your every desire? You have fattened yourselves for the day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed innocent people who do not resist you. See, it's good to have money, and money can provide many, many things in our lives, but money can't buy everything. See, folks, I'm a home builder, and I'm not a house builder. There is a significant difference. One of Sarig Builders, our core values, we have 6 of them. One of those core values is relationship. We value relationship with the homeowner. We want to be there long after their home, that we finish their home. And that's very, very important. That's just something that we hold to as a truth. We've been blessed with building beautiful homes in my career, both my brother and I. Even very expensive homes. But what good is a $500,000 home if it's simply a house and not a home? We built one of those kind of homes for a family up in Des Moines area, and it was a beautiful home, and it was well exceeded that $500,000 mark, and we even had it built while we were building there. They put a pool, and right when we were there, and we saw it being built. Now this man, he lives in Des Moines, but he travels every day in an hour on the interstate one way to go to work. He's incredibly intelligent, incredibly gifted in management. Has a beautiful wife, kids, home, and a fancy, what I would call an SUV vehicle. The only problem is, he was rarely home to enjoy it. Matter of fact, oftentimes when I'd see him, he'd have incredibly black circles under his eye due to fatigue and stress. And this man, without a doubt, makes a six-figure income. But I sit there and I have to ask myself, is this truly wealth? Is it worth the price that's being paid in this man's life? And the taxation is bringing not only on him and his body, but his family. Is it worth it? You got to ask yourself those questions. And that's exactly what James is saying. I'm not saying, folks, that money is bad. So please hear me. I'm not saying that. But I also, too, I have a farmer friend. He lives on a small farm, and matter of fact, he's converted his farm into, where they don't use all the herbicides and all the other stuff, and he's making it where it's more, it doesn't have those things, and our society is changing that, and he has a beautiful wife, and he has three boys. And without a doubt, every time I'm around him and his wife is there, his wife glows, and his does too when he's with her as well, because they love each other. They share family. They share time with each other. And I'm sure this man only makes a five-figure income, but I have to ask myself, who's more wealthy? Is it because of the monetary things that we can accumulate, or is it valued greater about the relationships that we have? See, if you look at verse 3, it says, all things, wealth is worthless. The wealth that is earned will eat our flesh like fire, and the treasure we've accumulated will stand in evidence against us in the day of judgment. Powerful words, aren't they? It's how we handle our money. Does your wealth or the lack of it control you? What is your heart? Money isn't an easy item or even something to discuss, but I believe it's important to keep it in perspective. Do we trust in our wealth or do we trust in Jesus? It's important to realize in this topic of money to trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. No matter how good we are or even how generous we are, we still fall short of God's standard, which is perfection. Only Christ can save us, and He will only when we trust Him alone for our salvation. That is what makes us wealthy people. Just being good enough isn't good enough, folks. You can't buy your way into heaven. There was once I saw on TV about a wealthy man who lived. And according to the movie, this man had actually came and changed his last name. He was a German businessman who gained his wealth from the Jews who were imprisoned in World War II. When he got there, he would often send those folks. They were sent to concentration camps, and eventually they ultimately die. Matter of fact, this man, as he moved back to America, he had a bank. He changed his last name when he moved to America and became even more wealthy and more charitable to his community. In the eyes of his city in which he lives, he was a man of great character because he was generous with it. He was always given awards, honors, and a seat at the best seat at any given charitable event. Everyone loved this man. The only problem is there was a dark secret that was hidden about this man and his life, and it was hidden in a safe deposit box in the very bank in which he owned. In that safe deposit box were the names of the men and the women that he cheated who had lost their lives. The bank one day, it was heisted by a bunch of robbers who broke into that safe deposit box only to find the names of those who made the man wealthy. This wealthy man, he tried to cut a deal with the robbers, get their names so his name wouldn't get exposed. The harder he tried, the more money he offered, but it wouldn't work. The rich man eventually got exposed about his dark sin, the dark thing that he had hid for all those years when he moved to America. The truth always finds a way to come to the top, and the city saw the rich man for what he was. He lacked character, and a lot of Jews lost their lives in order for him to become a wealthy man. This man no longer was held in character, and he died, a man who was not truthful, basically a liar. See, folks, truth always finds a way to the top, doesn't it? As character, we're free in Christ. But the thing that's important for us, folks, those who are Christian, we will face what they call Christ's great white judgment throne. You can find and look into that portion of Scripture in Revelation 20, 11 through 5. And in that place, we give an account for our works and our ministry. Our sins are obviously, they're washed away. We don't have to fear death itself. But what we will be found for is the generosity that we gave back to God. In that, you will either receive a reward or that reward will be taken away from you. It's all based on money and the generosity of how you live life. Folks, as Christians, we should be known as people who are generous, that we care about people. Yes, making money is not a bad thing, and please hear me. I am not saying that. Money can be a good thing if it's appropriated right and you have the right heart in the midst of it. I encourage you, where is your generosity today? Where does the Holy Spirit want you to spend your money? And how are you doing it? Are you looked at as a person of generosity? Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Dear Jesus, again, I just want to thank you for this text about money, about being a generous person. Maybe there's somebody who's been listening today that they're challenged by the words of what James wrote about generosity and about what we are called to do in the generosity, in the money that you give us. I pray, Holy Spirit, that we're looked upon as generous people. As Jesus said, we can gain the whole world but lose our soul. What good is money if we do that? I pray that maybe there's somebody out there this morning that's struggling with that very thought. Maybe they've hidden something and they need to make it right. I encourage the Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that they will do that, that they will make things right. So that way, when we get before you in the great white throne judgment, that we're clear. We can receive the reward, Jesus, that you've given us about being people who are generous and who love you with all of our hearts. I thank you, Jesus, for who you are. Help us always to be focused and our eyes on you, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Folks, it's Labor Day weekend. I hope you enjoy the rest of your weekend, that it's good, it's prosperous, and most of all, that you're generous. This is Mike Sarig, the voice of Vital Ministries.